welcome to this episode of Tea with Lily. And I'm here with the fabulous Heather Waring of Women Walking and Women Talking. Thank you so much for joining me, Heather. How are you today?
I am fabulous, thank you, Lily. And it's really lovely to be here.
Great. And London has looked slightly grey this morning. So since we're having tea with Lily, can I ask you what your favourite tea is?
Well, I'm not a huge tea drinker.
Okay.
But I usually start the morning with a cup of detox tea. And actually, I'm still sipping my detox tea today. But I also love a good cup of fresh mint tea after a meal. So yeah. If I'm going to have tea, those are usually the two different teas I'll have.
Yeah. Okay. That's very good. Like you, I'm not thinking, you know, despite the fact that it's tea with Lily, my go-to thing is normally coffee. Mm. And my go-to drink is normally coffee. And I tend to have tea of an evening, maybe chamomile tea or something like that, to sort of start to wind down for sleep. And I don't know about you, I love my sleep. I don't mess with my sleep. If you come between me and my sleep, I'm not happy bunny.
Oh, I can identify with that. My sleep is very important to me. And when you don't sleep, you can see why they use it as a tool of torture. You really can.
Yeah. Great. So this is Tea with Lily, like I said. And Tea with Lily is a space for informal discussions with a relaxed format where people from all walks of life, normally the great and the good, like you, Heather, who come and join me to share their experiences and provide tips and tricks for professionals and entrepreneurs interested in career and personal growth. So today we are going to talk about things that help women do better, I guess, in their lives. And Heather is going to share with me some of her experiences, but before we go further, let me just read a little bit about Heather from her book, My Camino Walk. But the bit about Heather that I'm going to read is her bio, which says, in 2013-2014, Heather suffered burnout and was diagnosed with adrenal fatigue, which she describes as the best and biggest gift she could have ever been given. Taking the opportunity to stop, Heather took time out to pause and reflect on her life and fully invest in her recovery. As a result of that journey and with her passion for walking and coaching, she now gives women space to reflect by taking them on transformational walking experiences along Asian paths like the Camino de Santiago, where she facilitates their rediscovery and reconnection with the women that they want to be and the life they wish to live. Heather is a walk leader and certified coach and active member of the Athena Network. She's been a columnist for both Cosmopolitan magazine and the Sunday Express. I didn't know that, Heather. And a regular contributor to Glamour magazines, and for 2 years she wrote the syndicated column for the New Guest Group. Heather has given radio and TV interviews and written many blog posts, as well as being regularly interviewed for podcasts and blog and local radio. So here we are. We are doing our own radio show. So Heather, tell us a little bit more about you and what you do.
Well, I am a passionate long-distance walker, and okay. I'm trying to think when that really happened. I think it was a bit at university. I had a friend who used to drag me out on long walks, and at the time she probably did drag me out, because actually it wasn't something I was really into. But through that, I really got to love being out walking and in nature. And the longer the walks for me, probably the better. I do really love doing a walk over a number of days from the beginning to the end and just picking up and continuing. And when I did burnout and had adrenal fatigue, walking was one of the things that really helped me in my recovery. Mm. And I find that walking is my meditation. It's also my me time, my planning time, often my social time. Okay. And it allows me to find, you know, lovely cafes and restaurants. It allows me to explore cities and to sit and have a drink, etc. And I when I walk with other women, I've had such lovely times where I've been introducing women to often parts of their own city they've never even known. Hmm. And when you're walking and talking, it's the time goes quite quickly, so you don't even realize you're doing an activity.
Yeah.
I've also heard lots of women talking about their busy life, and yeah, I recognized in them a lot of what I went through myself. I don't really want them to have to get to a point where they had to put on the brakes and stop.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it seemed to me that combining walking with coaching and mentoring was a great mix for helping those women. And Lily, as we know, women are very busy creatures, and yeah, they're there giving to everyone else, and often they don't give to themselves enough. So when I walk with women, I take them away. I often get them to put their phones off, even if we're only walking for a day. Mm. But I take them away and give them the space, and I look after them so they're nurtured and everything's done for them. They're cared yeah for, they're loved. And then I get them thinking about what does that mean for them. And in doing that, they rediscover and they reconnect, and we start to map out together a way forward. And sometimes they'll take it further and they'll work with me afterwards. Sometimes they can go and do it themselves. But it's this combination, I think, of space, nature, mindfulness, time for you, small group of other women, and a bit of a kind of bit of exercise, fresh air, and actually a little bit of a challenge sometimes too for some of the women to
yeah
to walk. Yeah,
I think the challenge for most would be having to turn off your phone for a whole day.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, to think how times have changed, that you feel if you don't have your phone on, something major might happen, and within 24 hours or even an hour sometimes. And it's that opportunity to give yourself that permission to say it's okay. Somebody is not able to find me within 24 hours, there are other people who can do the job that I'm supposed to be doing, and allowing other people to actually help you.
Exactly. And I must admit, we do, you know, a lot of people use their phones now as their camera, and I do. So, you know, and also if I'm out with somebody on the Camino, and I take a lot of women walking on the Camino de Santiago, you know, I will take some videos as well, because my clients love to see me and other women out walking. So in a way, I'd be doing my clients and my business a disservice not to take that opportunity. But I don't take long videos, and I don't ever upload on the path. So I will always say to people when we come home in the evening, do you know, if you want an hour to put some videos up on Facebook, to just check that nobody's yeah been trying to get in touch with you, as you were saying, that's fine. But let's make it half an hour, an hour, and let's yeah allow the rest of the time to be actually for us and for our own growth and for our own development.
Yeah. I mean, personally, if somebody took my wallet, I wouldn't panic as much as if they took my phone.
I think you're right now. I think we have got to that stage. And
yeah,
I mean, I remember vividly when I first got my phone, and it was when my daughter was born, and I suddenly thought, you know, if I'm stuck out in a car somewhere in the back of beyond and something happens, maybe I need a phone. But they were big phones, you know, then.
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe how things have changed. When I went out as a child, you just went out and your parents couldn't get in touch with you at all, you know.
Yeah, and you came home. And
exactly.
Yeah, things have changed. I think it's how things have changed, that we also, as women, have to start thinking about how we adapt to those changes. And I guess that's why you help women to do that, adapt to the changes around us, so that we are all winning.
Yes. And also, I mean, again, the phone seems to be a central point to this conversation at the moment. Yeah. But that's very apt, because of course, again, as women, wanting to be there for everybody else, feeling we should be there for everybody else, the phone allows us to do that too. And often, again, the phone makes us far too available for everybody. So, I mean, it's like all things, there's good and bad, isn't there? You know, the technology we have, the fact that we are able to call somebody and say, listen, I'm running late, you know, I've been caught in traffic or something like that,
yeah,
is a great facility to have. But then you can end up where it's running your life as opposed to you running your own life.
Yeah, Yeah. Watch that phone. So, yeah. Heather, I mentioned about you writing for Sunday Times and Cos. How did you come about doing all those wonderful jobs as a writer for Cosmo and Sunday Express and stuff like that? How did that all come about?
You know, it came about from one trip to Paris. It's really interesting. Okay. I was the career coach for Fish for Jobs, fishforjobs.co.uk, when I started off in coaching. I happened to be doing an interview one day with the guys from Fish for, and I said to them, I was a bit sassy, and I said to them, you know, you need a career or a life coach. And they said, do we? And I said, yes. So they took me up on it. So one day they arranged a trip on the Eurostar to Paris for lunch. Mm. And they were entertaining different journalists, and I was the kind of carrot come and talk to them. Careers. I didn't mind that kind of being that kind of carrot, you know, because it was a nice trip and first class. It was lunch at the other end. And
why not?
What happened was all these different journalists had the opportunity to interview me about my work. And as a result, the lady from Cosmo took me up and asked me to write, same as the woman from Sunday Express. There was somebody there from, I can't even remember now, it's quite a few years ago now, it was in 2000, yeah. But there were various, everybody interviewed me, some of them were just one-offs, and, you know, they appeared on a website or something like that. I think there was one more, I think the Glamour person too, and that picked up. That wasn't a regular column, but I did get asked quite regularly to contribute. And so it all happened as a result of that. And it was in the days as well when they paid you to write articles and columns. That doesn't happen very often anymore.
No. So
it was a nice thing to do. Yeah, I loved it. Loved it.
Good. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Heather, I know that you're so good at so many things, but what one thing do you really do well, and what is the secret?
Well, of course, the one thing you very often do well is the thing that you overlook, isn't it? You know, it's the thing right in front of your nose. And what I do very well, what I've come to appreciate and realize, is that I'm very good at putting people at ease.
Yeah. I'm very good at test to that.
Thank you. I'm very good at making people believe they can do things. And I don't mean in any forced way, just by talking to them. Mm. That has resulted in me, therefore, being able quite easily to guide people through walking and through long distance walking. And just through talking to them and explaining the kind of thing we're going to do, get them excited about it and getting them wanting to do it, and then providing them with a step-by-step way of doing even 18 miles, for instance, which makes some people cringe. By building up to it, you know. It's not something you're going to suddenly do, you know, the next day, or at least if you are, you're going to suffer. But, you know, I have this ability to guide people through training and get them fit and healthy to then go out and do something like a section of the Camino de Santiago.
Okay, so for 18 miles, how would a starter, let's say somebody with intermediate experience, how long would that take them? How many days?
Oh, well, we're probably talking months. I mean, I take a lot of my ladies from about 5 miles up to 18 over a period of 4 to 6 months. That's what I mean about it being gradual, because not everybody can go. I mean, you could do a much faster one if you had to, but I'm kind of lucky in that when I'm signing people up for my long distance walks, whether they're in France or Spain or whether in the UK, we have the opportunity to work together over a period of time.
Okay.
So, and I trained 18 women to do a 38-mile, 2-day breast cancer walk many years ago. And I just based it on...
You see the look on my face.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I was 22 miles one day and 16 the next. But we just gradually... And that was month by month. That was walking once a month. So it's, you know, you can actually build it up. But, you know... If it was somebody starting with me with 5 miles at the moment, I'd be saying to them, okay, let's just make sure you're keeping at that. If you've got some kind of a Fitbit or something, I really want them then to get to walking about 10,000 steps a day, which is not 5 miles a day, but it's just, the thing is, when you're off walking for 5 days in a row, you've got to be able to get up the next day and start again and walk again and the next and the next. So if you can get people walking every day, and walking is part of doing their errands or, you know, part of their transportation. It's not about having to go out and purposely walk, you know, the forest or somewhere. But if you can do that, and then we just build up bit by bit. And I run walks in London. And when I've got my Camino people together, I run back-to-back training walks a couple of times through their training. So maybe 2 12-mile walks back-to-back, and then nearer the time, 2 15-mile walks back-to-back. So
12 miles, gosh, okay, carry on.
But what you have to appreciate, and I've seen that look on other people's face too, you know, what you have to appreciate is you're not starting at 12 miles, you know, unless you can already do that. You're starting and you're gradually building it up. And if we go back as well to what I was saying about when you're out walking and talking with a small group, everybody's engaged with the chatting and, oh, look at this and look at that. So they don't always realize the distance they're walking. And then before they know it, they've walked more than they did the last time. And then more than they did the last time. And so that's why, I mean, it frightens the living daylights out of some people when you say to them, well, maybe one day in this 5 days, you're going to have to do 18 miles.
Wow. Anyway, I'm just looking at it and thinking, wow, can I do this? But I'm sure with your guidance, somebody like me can do that.
You could if you wanted. You've been running. Look what you've built up to with your running as well. You didn't start off running all those miles, did you, Lily?
That is very true. I mean, I can sort of, I say I'm a jogger rather than a runner. Before, I couldn't even jog 5 minutes. Stretch. I would do like a minute or two, and then I'll be out of breath and I'll be cursing, and people who challenge me, I'd be calling their names whilst I'm running, and then go back and tell them I'm not talking to you again because you made me do this, blah blah blah. But now, you know, I can jog 20-30 minutes without even stopping. And I'm sure in time I can do the whole 1 hour without even stopping. But in between I do walk very fast, so there's the jogging and what have you. So that does help. So I know what you mean.
And also, just everything that I do isn't at that mega mileage. You know, when I run walks in London, sometimes we're doing 6 7 miles.
Yeah, that's doable.
5 6, you know. Yeah. And also with some of my UK walk experiences that we're going to bring on this year, they're going to be shorter events. They're going to be like 3-day events, and they're maybe going to have, they might have one 10 mile day, and then they're probably going to be 2 shorter days, you know. So people, it's a stepping stone, really, you know. But then these things, walking, one of the things I love about walking is the benefits, the physical and the mental benefits. And you know, as we get older in life, our bodies weren't made to be sitting on a couch all the time. Our bodies were made to move. So I think one of the best gifts we can give to ourselves is just starting to move a bit more.
Yeah.
And, you know, if running or jogging is your thing, great. If cycling, and if walking is your thing too, that's brilliant. It's very easy to fit into your everyday life.
Yes, I mean, I do like the idea of walking, because as long as your shoes are comfortable, and I think again, perhaps this will probably work for the slightly more mature client. We don't walk around in high heels anymore, do we?
No, not at all.
So walking around, doing your daily errands, you should be able to rack up, you know, several thousand steps in a day. Whereas if I was wearing high heels going up and down London, I'll probably be very limited in how far I can go. But luckily, with sensible shoes are the thing for everything. And then once in a while, you look at your high heel shoes and think, why did I pay so much money for something I'll never wear again? But you know how girls do that.
Absolutely. Or you take them on an outing and you wear your comfortable shoes to get there, and then you put them on just for an hour or so and then take them back off again.
Exactly. That's me all over. That's definitely me all over. So Heather, now that you're doing women walking, women talking, I bet that's not what you started your career as. So what did, if you were a 16-year-old sitting, it's my fun question, if you were a 16-year-old sitting in the careers office, what would you have said to that person? Assuming you had a careers office in your school, what would you have said to that person then?
Well, as a 16-year-old or as the career person?
As a 16-year-old, if the career person said to you, what did you want to be?
Ah, well, at 16, I wanted to be a speech therapist.
Ah, okay.
That was my dream job, and it didn't quite work out the way I'd planned. And, you know, that is the interesting thing about the journey, because I know I'm so much happier doing what I'm doing now than I would have been as a speech therapist. And that's, speech therapists do wonderful jobs. So I'm not, and I have a lot of friends who are speech therapists, so I'm not putting them down at all. But the life I thought I was going to live was a much smaller life than the life I'm living now. So I'm very grateful for where the journey took me.
Good. So let's look at the main things we're going to discuss today. But before we do that, I'd just like to share with you listeners Heather's mantra, which is, I am fit and healthy, strong and vibrant. And she's all those things and then some. She's good fun as well. That you need to have some fun whilst you're doing all this fit and healthy stuff, right?
Oh, I do. I have plenty of fun.
So what's the profile of your typical client, Heather?
Well, they're over 50 females who value themselves. They're women who value themselves. They want the best for themselves. They don't want to live a mediocre life. They want to live a greater life. And I think for many of them, they're realizing that they've got lost somewhere along the way, as we often do, again, through having children and you know, giving time to other people. And it's too easy to lose yourself. And I speak there from my experience as well, of having lost myself and thinking at one point, is this it? So there are women who are not willing to put up with that mediocre life. They want a greater life. They want to reconnect with the fun, sassy, vibrant women they wear. And and I want to say, you are in there still. You haven't lost that woman. And let's just bring her back out, you know, because we can. And there's so much in life that we can embrace and love. So women who care about themselves, women who are willing to invest in themselves to get the life they want to jump out of bed for every day. That's my clients.
Yeah. I like the word that you used, invest in yourself. And that investment doesn't necessarily just mean money, but it's your time to invest in you.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
And sometimes that means putting boundaries up where they weren't there before. And I feel that we as women have a lot of challenges with that sometimes. So, you know, often that's one of the things we're talking about when we're out walking, is how do you start to bring those boundaries in where they haven't been there before, you know?
Yeah, so you can reel back that time that you once had for you before, you know, children, career, marriage, and all those things. How do you have fun? How do you have time for yourself?
Yeah.
How do you smile more? Get to smile more.
Absolutely.
Yeah. About the right things. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get that. So what have been the highlights of your career so far, Heather?
Oh, well, they're all going to be walking, I think. I mean, having my daughter was a highlight of my career, absolutely. Watching her graduate a couple of months ago was a highlight. But that's not career. That's personal. But yeah, the highlights of my career have been finishing the Camino de Santiago, which it took me 9 years to do, because I did it from the center of France. I could only do it a section at a time because of life. It took me 9 years. I also walked the Inca Trail, so ended up at Machu Picchu. That was definitely a highlight. Becoming an author was a highlight.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
And it's now inspiring me, because that was a chapter in a book And now I'm feeling much more inspired to write my own book. So
good.
That will be another highlight when we get to that. And running my first Camino experience where I took a group of women out was a great highlight as well. There are lots. I've been very lucky, very blessed.
Oh, that's nice. I think one of the things that us women tend to forget to do is to count our blessings.
Yes. And to celebrate our achievements,
yes.
Even when they're only, you know, a celebration doesn't have to. I know you and I would love celebrations with nice shoes and parties and glasses of fizz and travel and all of those things. And they can be those, but, you know, sometimes we just need to celebrate the small things. And that can mean running yourself a candlelit bath or, you know, putting your feet up for 15 minutes and having a cup of tea and reading a chapter of your favorite book. You know, they can be small celebrations as well. And that's one of the things I think is really important, that A, we do celebrate more, but we understand that celebrations don't have to cost us a lot of money or even any money at all.
Yeah. In fact, I had to go all the way to Geneva to do something that you just described, to have a little bit of lunch and read a chapter of my favorite book now, which is your book. And I read your chapter.
Oh, it's so kind of you to say.
But it's that kind of thing that we don't allow ourselves that time to do. And for me, just sitting there, and I thought, oh, I brought this book with me. I haven't had the chance to read it. And this is the purpose. Everybody had gone out that day. I was by myself. And yeah, I put my feet up. So yeah, so thank you. Thank you for allowing me to do that. but let's talk about the book. And I've got a couple of questions that I read from the book.
Okay.
And, you know, the first one, what was the attraction to the Camino?
I read a book called Clear Waters Rising by a guy called Nicholas Crane. And he walked from Santiago, actually. He did it the other way around, but he then kept on walking into Eastern Europe, I think. And I did like walking, but I like challenges, but there are certain challenges I would probably never do. Like, I don't want to bungee jump. I don't want to leap out of a plane, you know.
So yeah.
Those challenges are not on my do list at all. But walking is something that I could do and I felt I could do and really enjoy. And I started with my walking group, like doing more of these, kind of doing the Thames Path over a period of months, doing some of the other round London walks. And when I just was talking one day to one of my other buddies, and we both shared that we'd love to do the Camino, because here was it's 500 miles from across Spain. But here was us saying, well, let's make it 1,000 miles and walk it from the middle of France. And that just felt such a yummy challenge. And it was fantastic. And it did have a big impact on my life. I'm not religious, and you don't have to be religious to do it. But it was quite a spiritual walk, and it made me more spiritual. I just want, as soon as I read about it, I thought, I want to do that someday. And I did it.
Good, and you did it. But you did decide to break it down to a week, a year. And what was the reasoning behind that?
Well, Ellie, my daughter, was not, I think she was about 11 when I started. So I didn't feel that I could say to her and her dad, right, I'm taking 6 weeks off and I'm going off to Spain. I'm going to walk this Camino. So it was practicalities, really. And the woman I decided to walk it with, she had a full-time job, and she couldn't take 6 weeks off in one fell swoop. So yeah, it was reality and practicalities, really. And it worked fine. Somebody said to me one day, I really am inspired by how you've done this, and the fact that you were so determined that you kept going back to where you finished and doing the next section. And you know, that had never crossed my mind at all. And I thought, oh, okay.
And I think that's actually something that a lot of people would now contemplate, because sometimes when you have this big, ambitious goal, you're just sort of almost terrified to even start the first step. And because you can break it down, it makes it, you know, a lot more palatable for those who would normally go, this is too big. I can't even start to think, you know, to get my mind around that. So I think, you know, that's amazing. Now, carry on.
Sorry, I was going to say, it's one of the reasons I do what I do on the Camino, because I think for a lot of women, especially, you know, to set off on a walk like that, maybe on your own, is quite scary. And you might be tempted, but you don't know if you can do it. And you don't know actually if it's your thing. So often I say, you know, well, why not come and give it a go? Come with me where you're guided, where you're nurtured, where we put everything place for you. And then if you do love it and you see what it's like, then you can do the rest of it yourself. Or you can come back and do more with me. You know, it depends. But you know, it gives you a bit of a taster.
Yes, it does. And that then moves to you even though you're walking with people, you mentioned something in the book about solitude and spirituality. And then there was one particular area where you mentioned nature has become your God. Tell us more.
Well, I find that just the effect of being in nature and what it does for me, I mean, it really calms me. This came very much through the recovery from adrenal fatigue, because adrenal fatigue and burnout, a lot of it is stress. Push ourselves, we strive, we're doing all the tasks we think we should do, we're being the person we think we should be. So many of us women are actually quite stressed, and stress can have a pretty devastating effect on the body. So what I find with nature is I get out into nature and it just kind of slows me down. It doesn't always slow me down physically, so I can walk at quite a pace in nature if I feel like I want to, but I also spend a lot of time just observing, and I've become so much more observant as to what's around me. I can spot fungi miles away now.
That's an unusual one.
Always find lovely fungi. But you know, you get to see so much, and we do a lot of mindful walking when I'm out walking with people as well, just you know, using one sense at a time and listening, hearing, tasting, you know, whatever. And it's also a great way to slow you down. So every morning when I'm on my yoga mat, because I'm not religious, I will talk to the universe, but I'll also talk to Mother Nature, because I love the gifts that Mother Nature has given us and given to me. And you know, if anybody follows me on Facebook or Instagram or any of those kind of things, a lot of my pictures will be of nature, you know.
I've seen that.
So, yeah, she's kind of become my God.
that is right. I mean, I was intrigued by that. I mean, we've touched on the fact that women tend not to put ourselves first, but this is something that you help women to do with your coaching and your walking, etc. Why do you think it's so important
that we women put ourselves first?
No, why you're working, do you think it's important that we do put ourselves first?
Well, because I feel that in a lot of cases, women are not living the lives they really want to live. They're living quite superficial lives.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that as any kind of offensive remark. I think we just don't have time to dig deep sometimes. And so I also want women not to get to where I got to. So if we can stop this, if we can give people or women especially permission to put themselves first, to look after themselves first, because when your needs are met, you are in a much better place to help others.
Absolutely.
You're not resentful. You know,
absolutely. I totally agree.
Yeah. So, you know, I go out walking most mornings first thing. That kind of fulfills me. It feeds some of my needs first thing in the morning. So then I can come home and get on with the rest of my day.
Yeah. You also mentioned living in your cycles of nature. I think, tell us a bit more about that, because I don't think many people can afford that. So it's important, many people do not think they can afford that. Yeah. But I'm sure you've done it, and your way of living now is to help, again, go back to helping other women not to get to where you've got to. But what are your cycles of nature?
Well, I think it's funny because I'm not sure if it's about affordability. I think it's just how you use those cycles of nature. Mm. I mean, the best months for me to take people on walking experiences are the spring months and the autumn months. So, you know, September, October, sometimes into early November, depending where you're walking. Again, in end of April, May, sometimes into June. So that means those 3 months on either side of summer are the months I'm out being most physical and active with groups. From December through to March is winter. It's hibernation.
Hibernates.
You know, if you watch the trees and the leaves fall at the end of November or in autumn, and then things look dead through the winter, but we know that there's lots of activity going on underneath. It just all looks dead. So for me, I have a lot of family celebrations and of course Christmas in December. So I start to wind down and I will take some time to plan. I do a lot of my planning in November. And then in January and February, a bit of March, I will actually be based more at home. I will still be doing my own walking, and I'll be encouraging women to train if they're training for the Spring Camino. But I will be writing, I will be planning, I will be thinking, I will be creating.
Yeah.
And I can be coaching as well. So it's not that I'm not earning money in those months. I'm just doing it in a different way.
Yeah. So it's how you fit the cycles of nature around what you do.
And how I'm influenced by it. Because I used to be the woman who tried to detox in February, you know, and that's not a good time to detox because February is when you should be eating like nice hot soups and casseroles. It's not when you should be eating salads. And also I used to find too that I would plan lots of things work-wise and sometimes there'd be travel and then the weather would get terrible and you know, you couldn't travel or trains would be cancelled. And I just thought, you know, I'm going to stay more home-based and then I can get on with what I want to do in my own place. And I'm lucky, like a lot of other women nowadays, you can do a lot of things online as well.
Yeah.
And then the summer again is kind of a creative time, but it's a bit of wind down time. It's a bit relaxing. It's a bit less kind of structured, you know.
Yeah.
So that's how I work with my cycles of nature. And it seems to serve me really well. So
it's really interesting how that works. I'll look into that. So Heather, it can't all be work, right? What's your guilty pleasure? Tell us, we want to know.
My guilty pleasure is probably doing something like watching, you know, Suits on Netflix or something like that. You know, it's a bit like, you know, I talked about liking long distance paths. I love big box sets of things that you can just really get into. Mm. And, you know, if I'm having a really off day some days, and we all have off days, I try and work through it for a while. And if it's not working, I just give myself permission to stop and I'll go and make a nice cup of tea or coffee or something and I'll watch some Netflix, I'll watch some Suits or whatever is the current guilty pleasure. And, you know, I end up feeling much better afterwards. I'm replenished. I'm kind of recharged. And then I can go back to work the next day. Now, there'll probably be a lot of people listening to this thinking, oh, no, can't do that. Too much to do. And, yeah, I identify with that. And I used to push through as well. But actually, you're often not very productive when you're feeling like that. So you might as well give yourself a little break. Do something enjoyable and then come back to it the next day and you'll feel different. Yeah.
Or even come back to it the next hour. Just take an hour
out. The next day, absolutely, yeah. Whatever. Depends how bad the day is, really, and how much it's affecting
me. I'm not doing this anymore. Oh, dear.
But I have to say, Lily, I get so much fun and enjoyment out of my work now. I mean, it really is what I love to do. And that is what I meant by the biggest gift that came out of the Camino or came out of the burnout. You know, really just taking stock, finding out who I was, doing what I really love to do. And I appreciate not everyone can do what they really love to do. I've been very lucky, very blessed to be able to shape this. But that makes me, you know, it makes me joyous. I get to spend time with wonderful women. I get to make difference to their lives. I get to travel to France and Spain. And, you know, it's wonderful. So
what's there not to like? Sounds idyllic.
Yeah.
One more thing, I keep going back to the book. It was that captivating. Not necessarily the book, actually, but there's this mention of walking with the women, mm-hmm. and talking. And people would normally talk about something that they wouldn't talk about if they were facing you.
Yes, yes.
And for me, what that reminds me of is that if you need to talk to your teenager, go for a car ride.
Yes, I totally agree. Yeah.
Because there's no, they don't have to, you know, do the eyeball to eyeball thing, but they might just have a chat about things that, you know, you watch the road and you see something, and that can then lead into something else. And you might be able to get a lot more out of that, you know, moody teenager. I'm not saying the women are moody, but hey, they may be going through menopause and not quite sure what's going on up there. And their whole feelings, they might talk to you about it, and that might free up some space in their well-being as well. So I totally get that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And it doesn't even have to be woman to woman. It can be women and men. You know, if your relationship needs something to be talked about, take a car journey. It works there as well.
And I think sometimes there might be a problem driving sometimes with your partner. Can it...
Again, it depends. It depends what you're discussing. It depends what your partner's like.
Yeah, and you know, then your driving skills can come into the equation. And then, why didn't you stop? Okay, we digress. It's quite a positive thing in life. So most of us support charities. Heather, what are the charities that you support, and why?
I've always supported a lot of breast cancer charities, and that's sadly because I've known a lot of women who have had breast cancer. Yeah. Many of them are still with us, thankfully. Some sadly are not. So that's always been close to my heart, and I've done a lot of big walks for breast cancer charities. And when I first became a coach, I had a wonderful gentleman that I coached who'd given up his corporate job because he didn't like their ethics anymore, and he was very much about making a difference in the world. And he set up a charity called Excellent, which is all about building sand dams in Africa, and now they do in other parts of the world as well. And what he has achieved has been phenomenal, so I'm very proud to support them. And then there's the, you know, sometimes you get somebody come into the door at the right time with the right charity, and so there's always room for a couple of those in the year as well. And we've done, you know, Dogs Trust, Guide Dogs for the Blind, various things that has, you know, got my daughter excited as she was growing up. So, but there's always room for helping someone, you know, and helping some charities. Yeah.
Wow. We've covered the whole gambit of life, the life and the loves of Heather Waring. So the life, the loves, the work. How can our listeners connect with you, Heather, if they want further information on walking, and especially the Camino de Santiago or other Asian paths, or how to love you and live a life that makes your heart sing, how they can love themselves, the lives that they will make their heart sing? I want some of that.
Go and have a look at the website, which is womenwalkingwomentalking.com. If you're really interested in the Camino, then it's womenwalkingwomentalking.com/experiences-Camino, I think, or /Camino. Anyway, if you look under the experiences tab, you'll find it. I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Pinterest, mostly as Heather Waring or Heather Y Waring on Instagram, and on Pinterest as Women Walking, Women Talking.
Okay.
My phone number is 07941 246619, And my email is heather@womenwalkingwomentalking.com. So I think we've probably covered the gamut there.
Yes, you can find Heather Waring or heather@womenwalkingwomentalking. And find her there and go to the website, Women Walking, Women Talking and Experiences. When is the next Camino coming up?
The next Camino is, I'm actually going out in a couple of weeks. So that one's closed, as you can imagine. We're taking a group out to Spain to walk from a place called Logroña to a place called Burgos, which has one of the most beautiful cathedrals I've ever seen. And we're walking through the Rioja wine region. It will be very lovely to taste the wines and hopefully to see the grapes ready for harvest. But next year, 2019, I have one in spring, and which will probably be early May, and one in probably the end of September, and we're walking the same route on both those, which is the last section of the Camino into Santiago. So if anyone's listening and they're thinking, I'd love to do this, but I'll only ever do one section, I'll never do the whole thing, then consider that one, because you do get to get your passport stamped. You have a special pilgrim passport. You get it stamped, and then when you get to Santiago, you can pick up your pilgrim passport certificate, which tells you that you have walked and really celebrate. So that one will be a lovely section to do. It's very green. It's what inspired me to walk particularly ancient paths, because I imagined all these ancient oak trees telling their stories. We will have a good time in Santiago. So if you're interested, I'd love to have you along. But listen, if you're interested and you're not sure if it's you and you just want to have a chat, then a chat does not mean any commitment whatsoever. I talk to quite a few women who don't follow through because it's not right for them or the time is not right. Feel that if you want to chat with me, you can only do so if you're going to sign up. You know, some people will, but some won't. And that's okay. Just find out more.
Yeah. Oh, there's always the UK shorter walks as well.
Yes, there's always those.
People want a taster of what you normally do.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
So finally, Heather, what are your top three tips for living the life you love?
Well, I think we covered one of these already, actually, which is don't get bogged down in the big picture. You know, it's good to have a big picture, but you don't want it to rule you because it can put you into paralysis and not taking any action. So just take first step. And again, we talked about, you know, getting fit for running, for walking, just take that first step. My second tip would be give yourself permission to put yourself first and give to yourself every day.
Yeah.
And that may just be having your favorite cup of tea. It might be as simple as that every day, or it might be a walk or whatever else.
Yeah.
And the third one, you know, if things aren't going as you would like, if there's something, you know, if you're out of sorts a little bit, if things won't work for you, my tip is actually ask yourself, what is it about my basic self-care that I'm not doing? Because often we're not drinking enough water, we're not getting enough sleep, which you and I both talked about earlier. You're eating the wrong things, you're grabbing sugary snacks or salty snacks, and you're not taking time to, you know, have breakfast or something like that. So, or you're not taking any exercise. Often it's those basic things. And when you take care of you, then everything else starts to fall into place. And again, that is tried and tested. All these things I have gone through myself.
Okay.
So, you know, I wasn't born this virtuous person by any means.
You mean you're not born this sensible?
I wasn't born this sensible. Or this
I find virtuous. That very hard to believe, because you're a very, very sensible woman. So the top three tips are, don't get bogged down with a big picture. Just take the first step. The second one is give yourself permission to put yourself first and give to yourself every day. And I actually heard someone use a slightly different phrase on that one, the second one. It says, pay rent to your body every day.
Oh, I like that one. Pay rent to your body every day. I like that.
And because that's the only place that you live in.
Yes.
So, and then tip number three is, if things are not going as you want, ask yourself, what are you doing in terms of basic self-care?
What are you not doing?
What you're not doing. So are you, you know, the sugary sweets, the salty snacks? Because with the sugar, you'll go up, and what goes up definitely comes
down.
Yeah. So whether it's, you know, those basic things. So so I guess if you need a sugary thing, then maybe an apple or a banana rather than a muffin at the shop.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have got a sweet tooth, as you very well know. And I get told off by my mom. Well, there you go.
I do too. You have to, you know, you have just have to manage it sometimes. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. But Heather, thank you so much for coming on the show. I've absolutely learned a lot.
Good.
I definitely will come on one of the UK walks sooner rather than later, just to experience what this walking and talking and coaching thing. So I'll set up something with you in the diary outside of this show, and then we can start looking at how I get to walk and talk and do all these fabulous things and be the better version of myself.
Ooh, I've got a lovely one for you as well, Lily. I've got one I think you really enjoy. So we'll talk about that definitely. Thank you so much for having me. It's been such fun. It's been a real pleasure, and look forward to seeing you soon.
Yes, and thank you, and all the best. Take care now. Bye-bye. Bye, everyone. Bye.